Josh is going to lead the men's meeting as typical, but he's going through the drill. So I've got one thing to talk about before you. So he told me to go ahead and start. So we'll start with prayer. Josh Jackson, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you again that you have allowed us to be here. And now in this time of meeting, we ask that you help us as men, as Christians, and again, fellow heirs in your kingdom, to come together to discuss the work of this local congregation. We pray that we would do so with your wisdom. We would do so looking to you and what you have given and said for us to do. Pray, dear God, that we would build each other up. If there is disagreement, that we would be respectful one of another and gentle with one another. We ask for God that you would continue with us through this time. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Okay, just very quickly, if you'll notice this review of the service schedule, the reasons why we have the service schedule that we do. The reason I wanted to bring this up is just because we have started doing some things that are making the service last a little bit longer than what we had talked about in the beginning. So I just kind of wanted to, and some of the, we've got some new members as well, especially song leaders, because this impacts the song service more than anything else. So I just wanted to go over what we had talked about when we first began the 3-hour block and remind you of a few things. I'm not talking about rushing in any way, but at the same time, I feel like we probably could do a little bit better job of being, efficient, thank you, efficient, yeah, and conscientious, that's another good one as far as dealing with these things. So I just want to remind you all of a few things and make a suggestion or two. So starting off, when we talked about going to the 3-hour block, there were several objectives that were mentioned by the men to accomplish as a part of that. Firstly, to clearly demarcate the three periods so that there is no bleed over from one to the other. In other words, we don't want the 9 o'clock hour to keep us from having a full class period or the class period to go over to where we don't have enough time at the end, or that we go well over the 3-hour period because we acknowledge and understand that the elderly and the children sometimes struggle with sitting for that long, and we're trying to keep it as close to the 3-hour as possible. So, looking at those objectives, that's basically what we had talked about, and the decisions that we made initially were to accomplish that. So this is what we talked about doing, and if my memory is correct with regard to this, if I make a mistake about it, let me know. In the 9 a.m. hour, it's important to start right at 9, not to start late, but start right on time. And we said even to have the song leader lead the prayer just to make it a bit more quick, and not to have any announcements in the 9 o'clock hour. And all of that is so that we can sing more, because some of the members, when we decided to do the 3-block, they wanted more singing. So this allows a full 20 minutes of songs at the beginning of the time together. And I agreed to, typically me, but now with the other men participating in that, 25 minutes of preaching so that we would have at least 10 minutes between the first hour of the class. And that's exactly what we had today. I was just kind of listening about all this just to make note of them. Make note how things were going today. We did have exactly 10 minutes between the 9 a.m. hour and 10 hour. In the class, fairly simple. First bell at 10:40, second bell at 10:45, which leaves us 15 minutes between the class and the last hour. The 11 o'clock hour is where we're running into some problems. We also indicated the importance of starting precisely at 11. In other words, we've got a 15-minute break. Let's not start at 11:05 or anything like that. We're right at 11. Streamline the announcements. The idea was we would put the announcements in the bulletin, also put them on the announcement slides, which they are, so that people could pay attention and read them, and that way we wouldn't have to talk about anything other than new stuff. And that's what we've striven to do. So that's why the announcements are up there on the slides and also the bulletin. And then the other thing was, the agreement was to have two songs. The second song being the Lord's Supper, then the song for the lesson. So there's a total of three songs. There have been a number. That's what we decided here, Leon. You know?
No, we've always had three songs before the Lord. Songs, then Lord's Supper song.
That's what he has.
Yeah.
Three
songs, okay. Not four songs before the lesson.
Yeah,
three songs.
No.
There's always been four songs before
the lesson. We're saying different things.
Yep.
Stop saying you're saying the same thing.
Okay, so it's like two songs. Lord's Supper songs, three songs. Then the Lord's Supper, then the song for lessons, four songs before the lesson.
Maybe that's how
always been. It's always been that way. I promise. So
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes, that's how I recall.
Since I've been here.
No, I know it's 3 years, but I thought we made the agreement to reduce it by one.
What we said when we were doing this originally was basically the structure where we were going to be starting the Lord's Supper around 11:15. And so, I mean, really, I think times work better. Like, that's what we do in the first one, right? The psalm should be done by 9:20. So the sermon can be from 9:20 to 9:45.
Okay. Well, right. I made something wrong then. I thought we made that decision.
What's been done, and I don't know why, or I don't remember exactly who, but there's been a few times that there's been three songs, then the Lord's Supper song, and then one before the lesson, which has been, there's been a few that have put
five songs before
the Lord's Supper.
Oh, maybe that's
and that's maybe what you were thinking, because that's happened a few times.
We agreed to drop the closing song.
Right.
When we change up the thing.
Okay, I apologize then. I made a mistake in regard to that. Okay, so then we're talking about two songs, then the Lord's Supper song, then the Lord's Supper, then another song. That's total four songs. Okay, so
it has to tie back to time, right? If you do Our God He Is Alive and Lord I Believe, your two songs, it'll be too long, right? You got to think about it and have the Lord's Supper start about 11:15, and then that'll be on time.
Okay, so that's basically what we're talking about. Because, for example, today I got up to speak at 11:35, and the second lesson we talked about will be the longer lesson if I need more time. I usually preach about 35 minutes. I preach for 35 minutes today. And it was 12:15 before we got out. If I preach for 45 minutes because I got a material that I need to cover, which doesn't happen very often, but then there have been a number of times in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, to where we've been 12:30 getting out, which is pushing it just a little.
Well, there are several reasons for it, but like when Tommy filled in a while back, he got up at 11:50.
Yeah.
And so it's just something we need to be aware of.
50? Yeah, that one.
Because you weren't here, but... Or 10...
Wait,
no, 11:50.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, it was 10:00 when he got up. Yeah.
So basically what I'm asking for is, number one, for the song lead, the announcers to start on time, start the service right at 11 to be as concise as possible with announcements. If you do have something about the Lord's Supper, we're not saying rush through the Lord's Supper by any means. If you have something you want to say, which is great, we all encourage that, just be prepared so it's rather concise and doesn't meander. That's all we're saying. So the preacher can get up by 11:30 at the latest. It was 11:35 today, but we're trying to get the preacher up at 11:30, and that will help. We can get out on time. But again, I'm going to tell you that if I've got a little bit more time to finish a deal, I'm going to preach overtime a little bit. I usually preach about 35 minutes, but every once in a while it's 40 to 45. And I don't want to get the blame for people bitten. Or they can. I just thought that. But the main thing that I wanted to make note of, and I'll get to you in a second, Dick. The main thing I want to make note of is that the part of the problem with this whole process is that the song leaders are not doing what they promised that they would do, and that is have the song slides prepared before Sunday. You'll remember that we mentioned to do it the Wednesday night before. Dennis also mentioned that we could also have, he also has a software on the back of the page, which is called SplashTop. And I didn't have the passwords and everything, but I put it back there so people write some things down. I'll let you talk about that in a moment. But that allows you to have remote access to the desktop up in front of the building, and you get the slides done like on Thursday or Friday. I come in early every Sunday morning, and I can easily incorporate my sermons into the slides if they're ready. But if we're running into problems if men are doing that, because if they're doing that, we can't run the announcement slides. It's not possible to run the announcement slides while you're doing that, because it for some reason doesn't run.
Well, it just
freezes on the slide.
It'll stay on the slide, but it doesn't run the loop.
And it also does, and I don't mean to be difficult, but it does impact sometimes my ability to prepare for my Bible class, for example, in the 10 minutes that I've got in between if someone's up there trying to get the stuff done because they didn't get it done earlier. But that was an agreement that the song leaders made. And I know that no one's intentionally just being derelict in regard to this, but that's why I thought, looking on the back page, I just got a suggestion. I know that Jim Godfrey coordinates the song leader list with the worship leader list. And I think personally that that should continue. That way we don't have someone who's supposed to be doing a prayer and or reading a scripture and doing the song leading as well. He kind of makes sure that doesn't happen. But if we could just have a man basically take over to say, make sure all the song leading stuff gets done and done in good time, and just have him be kind of accountable so that he'll say, you know, get it in or make sure that it's done, things are accomplished. I know that it was Rick Hightower that I don't see Rick in here. Oh, now look already. The beard's right there. Okay. So, yeah, Rick said that he would make sure that the Wednesday singing class is done, so I don't have to worry about anybody being chosen because he's going to do that. We didn't have anybody last time to do it, and he had to get, he did a good job. But making sure that the men who want to teach the class can do so, taking turns. Justin, you admit you said you would be willing to do that the fourth Sunday singing. And I don't know if you meant just that one time or if you'd be willing to take that over. I don't want to do it.
I'm fine taking it over. Okay. If I'm not on or whatever, I'll get someone to cover.
And the other thing is the triennial singings. But even then, if we just have someone to coordinate, just to make sure these things, if someone's slacking or limited, hey, you know, we promised to get this done, so we need to do it. And try to, you know, try to make sure everything's done. It just makes everything smooth.
And also somebody that definitely had that splash top, so if there is a mistake, miscommunication, or, you know, just wasn't able to get it done, hey, send me your songs and I'll put them in for you just to make sure that it's done.
If the brethren could give me maybe 10 minutes, I will give you the information right now.
One other thing, and Dick had a question too, but one other thing about this is that the forwarding of the slides, and I didn't mind doing it this morning, at least in the first hour, because I wasn't preaching in the first hour. But I've been a number of times when someone comes in late, and so they asked me to do it, and I said I wouldn't do that anymore. If you guys want to do it yourself, fine. But that's one of the reasons we got that second remote, and I know it was kind of troublesome at the beginning, but we did fix that. That remote does have bigger range, so that skinny remote, you can do it anywhere in the auditorium, and it'll forward the slides. But the big deal.
I'm up close, so
yeah,
come to my side instead of stand side. I'll
appreciate it. That.
I misread that this morning because I looked at you and you're going.
So anyway, but keep in mind this thing. It's just like Josh. I told Josh. Josh was apologetic that he didn't get in as early, and I said I've already decided to do this. So I wasn't talking about you. But just to give that example, when he was putting it together, he dropped my slides in, and because of a glitch, the titles of my slides weren't looking correctly, which made it necessary for him to redo it and drop his into mine so it would look correct, which took a little extra time, which made us start. He's almost started right on time. We were about a minute late because of it. And all of those kinds of things, if you're sure of it beforehand, it looks bad with the visitors and everything. The visitors, if all of a sudden we're not doing things right or we're having glitches and those kinds of things. That's all a matter of lack of preparation. If we're prepared, those things don't happen. And we need, if we're going to be utilizing the slides and we're going to be doing these kinds of things that we're doing, we need to do our very best to do it right. Yes, Dick?
I think we left off the most important thing on here of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was commenced before the prayer. That's why we're not discouraged from them from making comments. In fact, it helps us prepare our minds, as Justin did this morning, you know, and all that, and Dennis does, and others. And I know when I was at Hawthorne City, we had 10 minutes. I'm not saying we knew that, but that helps us prepare. I mean, I'd rather have a leave off a song to be able to have comments that, you know, that maybe a couple of minutes. But, you know.
I did mention that, Dick. You may not have heard it, but anyone who wants to make some comments concerning the Lord's Supper to prepare our minds, as Justin did today, is well. Sometimes that was discouraged under the eldership. They were saying, don't do it, or it's running too long, and that's wrong. We don't want that. Trying to discourage us doing things in order and making sure we take the time that we need for each thing. I'm just saying that if we can be more efficient in the things that we are doing, we won't impose quite as much upon the elderly and the children because 3 hours is a long time. That's all I'm saying. But so just keep that in mind, the teacher. And in that final suggestion I mentioned there.
On the comments on Lord's Supper, I mean, let's make it mandatory in two different ways. Something that have prepared, say, forget his name now.
That
kind of
man.
Or if they, you can't prepare, you know, I mean, have a scripture that goes along with it, you know, something like many times people do.
Now, that's something that's another issue that we can bring up as to whether we want to make it mandatory.
Well, I mean, right.
Like the idea of making it. Some men just aren't comfortable with doing that, which could be discouraging to them as far as participating.
No, I said you don't have to. If those don't feel like it can prepare something, just read the scripture like
right.
You do. You know, of course, there's more than just in 1 Corinthians 11 to read. Apparently, it should have prepared some minds and everything. And in some places in Africa, years ago, I don't know, they take an hour for the Lord's Supper. Of course, this 3 hour thing is a problem, too.
You can put Jim in charge of picking
the
verse.
3 hours of service every long time.
The one thing I thought maybe that the song leaders might could just have a meeting and kind of work it out amongst yourselves. Not that we presume upon anybody, but just see what y'all best way of accomplishing for y'all to accomplish what you want to accomplish to make sure we do this as concisely as possible. And I'll turn it over to Dennis then for just a short time to explain the splash top a little bit, and then Josh can take over with regard to this.
And I'll try to be quick. Song leaders, take a pen out. I'm going to write on that back that piece of paper. And this is something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and just for some reason haven't been able to get the information to you guys. First of all, splash top personal. See, this is a commercial software, but they allow people to use it personal at home. And you can also use it as a distance with an annual subscription. It's like $17 a year. You can access your own personal computers anywhere in the world, which is wonderful. I'm giving you permission to use my personal credentials. Okay? I called the company, got permission from them. I explained exactly what I wanted, and they said, that's okay. So we got permission from them. My credentials are my email address, which is dhcraig.
Where are we putting that?
That
under host name or client?
It says username right there.
Under host name or?
Host name. Yeah, host machine.
Thank
that's
you.
Good. That should go be your machine, is the host machine.
Okay.
The host machine is the pulpit computer. That's I looked that up as far as trying to figure it out. The client machine is yours. The client, all the host, all the software.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I just wrote it in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Right. The host, yeah.
So
okay.
Under
so,
client machine.
Under client machine.
Username.
dhcraig@gmail.com. DH, just like Hillary. Aaron's wife. Hillary, except it's with one L and it's hilarious. So dhcraig@gmail.com. Now, this is the password. It's 12 characters, and it needs to be. Start with a apostrophe, a small case O, small case W. Apostrophe, not apostrophe, exclamation point. Thank you for questioning. Exclamation point. Starting off bad here. I'm trying to be quick.
Starts with an exclamation point.
Exclamation point. Small case O, small case W.
So exclamation point.
Small case O.
Small case O.
This is correct. Small case W. The number 9. Capital V, as in Victor. Capital T, as in Tango. Small case J. Capital L. The number 4. The dollar sign. Capital Q, capital J. Why did I make it so hard? It's because if somebody gets this thing, they can embarrass the congregation during services. We don't want that to happen. We don't want somebody being able to get into our system and hacking it. So we want to make that as hard as possible. Now, the password for the pulpit computer is a lot easier. It's just J-O-S-H. 2314, and that's all small letters. Okay, lowercase J-O-H-J-O-S-H 2314. That's a scripture, right? It's Joshua 23:14.
The reason I picked that is because it says, all have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. You hear that? Password. Okay, so if you forget it, just search for password. If you hear it, find that sentence, you're good. So what you're going to do is you're going to get on your you can do this on your phone. It's easier on your laptop or home computer. Google this phrase, Splashtop Personal App Download.
Do we have a username for the pulpit computer? Or is it already in there?
No. Once you log on with your computer with my personal credentials, it's going to pop up three of my personal computers at home, and it's going to have the pulpit computer at the bottom.
Gotcha.
When you double-click on that, it's going to ask for the password. That's okay. What you're going to put. Okay. So you're going to search for Splashtop Personal App Download. And that's what you're going to download to your computer and install it. Okay. And Best Buy, remember, it's all you're going to need is just those two. Okay, some caveats then. We talked about the importance for the password. Don't change the password. You'll have the ability to do that, but don't, because you'll lock me out of my account. Don't change the pulpit password. Just leave everything as it is. I'll take care of running all that stuff, including updates and such as that. You will see my PCs. You shouldn't be able to get into them if you click on it. It should ask for a password. But if it doesn't ask for a password, just back out. please don't snip around my computer. Let's see. And also, if you want to access your own computer from home, get your own account. Open up another one, get your own subscription, because we don't have permission to do that. We've only got permission to access this one, okay, and sharing my account to do this one. You can use it at home. If you got a computer upstairs and one downstairs within your Wi-Fi, no problem. You can use it at home. Any questions?
Dennis, the yep. One thing about it, though, when I just try to sign in, because I haven't loaded on this form yet on your phone, it asks for an authorization from your email. So I think you're still going to have to be a part of this as far as
yep.
when you sign. It's just the one time
thing. At first.
Yeah, yep. Once you get in, you don't need it. But when you initially sign up, it's going to ask for an authorization.
I send you a code or something.
Yeah, it's two-factor authorization, basically, what that is. So I'll have to watch for when you try that. If you want to send me a text, let me know that you just did it. Then I'll get the email right away. Then I can go right to the email, and so you won't have to wait until I actually get around to seeing the email. And this thing works fantastic. It's just great. Once you make it large screen, it's like you're standing right in front of the laptop, and you do everything you can do up there. Okay. All right.
Dennis.
Yep.
It may only keep that code valid for a short time. You may not be able to do it a couple hours later or something.
Well,
somebody may need to contact you and say, hey, I'm about to do it.
Yeah.
That might be the best one.
Text me something. Yeah.
Last thing, November 31st, just the finances, guys. There's the update. Nothing real big. I just did want to make mention. At the bottom there, it says the $13,000 from the high yield savings, or the almost $14,000. Did I mention that to y'all last time? Anyway, I got onto the bank account about a month and a half ago, and the savings was gone, that $14,000. And what happened was it had been dormant for so long that we hadn't used it. They made it dormant on their end, and it ended up not being a big deal. Josh had to go in and sign something to reactivate it. But I moved that over to the checking account just so that wouldn't accidentally happen again. Because if it was dormant and they moved it, we didn't know about it after a period of time, that money just goes to the state of Texas, is what she said. And I was never, I didn't get an email about it. I get on the account fairly often to pay bills, but it just went dormant.
It's a savings, not a checking account.
It's right. A yield savings.
Yeah, high yield. I think it has. There's something specific to that account since it wasn't active. The elders created that account when we had the money for they put the money for the parking lot in there to separate it.
But you've taken care of it.
It's taken care of. It's taken care of. I just wanted. You had a question about that number at the bottom. That's what that was. So our balance is $145,206, and then the only other thing, our yearly insurance payment is coming up, which will be $10,000, and that'll come out probably, I sent the paperwork in, I don't know if it's going to be October or November, but that'll be coming out pretty quick, which is one of our major expenses of the year, so I wanted you to be aware of that. But that is all that I have today. Does anybody have anything new that they want to bring up or discuss today? Yes, Tim.
A couple things, I'll try to be quick.
We need somebody to keep minutes, because that would be a good thing, because some things we want to discuss or table and discuss later, you know. A couple things. The first one was one of Donna's students, she was asking her students about the Lord's Supper. You know, what's the Lord's Supper? And one of her students told her, you know, it's the bread, and it's the fruit of the vine, and it's given the contribution. And she said, no, it's not the contribution. He says, why do you think it? Because we do it all at the same time. And of course, we say it up there, but it's not getting to them. There's some confusion. I've heard it reported that we don't need to worry about it. They're just kids, and they'll figure it out eventually. And that doesn't square well with me. They should be taught the truth now. They should understand as soon as possible, and just let them get it on their own. But anyway, the reason I was bringing that up, because it's a good time to suggest us considering splitting it up. The reason we've done it this way, because, and I've been guilty of saying this too, as a matter of convenience, while men are still around the table, we also do this. We should never worship the Lord or do anything for the Lord as a matter of convenience. If that's the reason we're doing it, we shouldn't be doing it for that reason. The Lord's Supper deserves to stand on its own. The contribution can be taken up very quickly. I've seen it done in other congregations at the beginning of service. The men just go around and collect it and put it up. And that's all I have to say about that. If there's going to be some discussion, I'll let that come up too. The other thing I would like to talk about is, and Stan touched on this in his lesson. During the meeting, I noticed the children were just running like banshees through the building. This is not right. This is not correct. It should not be allowed. I know they're children. They will do that because they lack discipline. They need to be taught not to do that. It's dangerous. They can knock somebody down, and our elderly brethren could break a hip, end up in the hospital. We need to figure out a way to correct that. Probably and I understand they are just kids, and they will do that. They will forget. But I think it'd be a good thing if parents would agree, and I'm sure most of our parents would, that if we catch their children doing that, to stop them and tell them, don't run in the building. Yes. Don't let them get away with it.
And eventually, yeah, again, you're right. You know, that's one thing we've been working on with my kids. But what's difficult is, you know, one of them's easy, but then when all the kids get around each other, if one kid forgets, then you know, oh, we can do this. You know, they kind of take that as the authority to go ahead and get it done.
I'm talking sprinting. I saw sprinting in the building during the meeting. That's
but yeah, I'm fine with the. You know, I think that's his easiest with the collective effort, because you're right. You know, with in my case, with three of them and one small one, then it's hard to keep up with all of them. And if it gets to the point where you need to just sit in a room, I will with mine, but I don't want to do that. Yeah. And I think the easier thing, you're right, if we see any kids running, are all the parents in agreement with that? You have the permission from me grab them by the arm and make them look you in the face and say, listen, we don't need to be running.
Well, I try to keep them out of the back hallways, too, because, like, every time I catch a kid, I'm like, y'all need to be back here, you know.
You need to give them a SWAT, too, if they don't listen to you, right. But I know more people aren't comfortable with that, so tell me if they ignore you, then let me know, and I'll look out for that myself while I'm back there, but I'll make sure I'll do my best to take care of it. As far as the, I guess, or Dick.
Well, you say something else before?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you had a comment that I was going to make, and then another thing about informative. And so along with what Dennis brought up, that he brought it up first, the sermon was a long time coming, especially the conclusion there about the children during the services. You know, and others talked about it and need to do things decently and in order. And that is in training your children when they're young, even though they're babies, you know. I mean, sure, there's times you get outbursts and things, you know, but there's so much of that. And they just keep on going on and on. And I don't want to offend any parents, but and or grandparents or whatever, you know. And but anyway, I thought that was a very, very good, especially the conclusion there on the sermon there about the training the program. And you know, if we ever have elders, that would be could disqualify a father for being an elder who doesn't train their children right and then discipline them and things such as that.
Well, I think I agree with that. We need to work on you know, teaching our kids that, as was mentioned in the sermon. I think we're all doing that, you know, to the at least I speak for myself. I'm doing the best I can. If anyone has any other suggestions for me, I'm glad to take advice from someone that's got some experience in that. But it's one thing to keep in mind as well, all kids are different. And even with mine, Luca has been 10 times easier than Emberly was, or the twins especially. And, you know, kids have different personalities, different energy levels. And what may be easy for some kids to do is much harder for other kids. And, you know, you may have parents that are disciplining in a very similar way, that they have two very different levels of control of their kids at certain stages in their life, as far as, you know, sitting still, for example. And so I think, you know, we definitely need that, something parents need to work on, and I think they are. But also keep in mind that, again, you know, depending on the child, that's very easy or difficult, more difficult, depending on the type of kid that is, and sometimes it can be a struggle. But I think the parents, as far as is in my opinion, I think that a lot of the parents are trying to incorporate that, especially the ones with young ones.
Yeah, I want to say that I kind of agree with Dennis as far as sometimes after the services are over, it gets a little bit too wild and woolly. But I do not want y'all to think that I was admonishing the parents of the children with regard to the worship, because I wanted to encourage the parents, not criticize them. I think that the parents in this congregation are doing a fine job of making sure the children behave during the worship period. I think they're doing a real good job of that, and they're consistent with regard to their training and with regard to what they're requiring of them. So it takes time, and it's not going to happen overnight, but there's going to be that time when they'll be quiet and participate in such, and that's going to be a deep.
Like I said, it is tough, because at certain stages, like Wicca, we always want to talk, say this, and it gets in.
I just wanted to add one thing to that, too, is between services, we don't want running, obviously. But that is the time when you want the kids to get move around, because they're going to be sitting down for another hour afterwards. So you do want them to have some freedom to, you know, be able to move around and stuff. Obviously not running around, but that is the time, you know, get up, get some of that energy out so we can sit down again for an hour again. You know, so.
Rick?
Two things. One, to remain on topic with the kids, patience and long-suffering also needs to be considered as well. Parents are doing their job, but kids are stubborn. It takes time, so it also requires patience on everybody else's part while that training process is being done. Yes, we all know that they don't need to be running because of the dangers. It's going to take time to get that into their head. Also, though, it is starting to get cooler as we start getting into winter now. They can go outside after services. They do need to get up and get around and run around. That's okay. They just don't need to be doing it around the dangerous being around others that can fall in and be very dangerous, like Brother Hatch. So just remember that patience and forgiveness works both ways. On the second note, since we've kind of talked about two different topics here, back on the Lord's Supper, slash contribution, because I'm not trying to put them together. During COVID, we had different practices than we do now. Mm-hmm. We had the baskets in the back, and we just collected that back in. It's an expedient to either have it in the back or have it passed around. It has been my opinion for quite a while that the passing around was an expedient, because it helped increase contribution funds. It was a man-made thing to say, here, let's pass this around, because when it's put in front of you, you're more compelled to put something in it. Whereas if it's in the back, it can go by the wayside or get forgotten. But both are expedients for collecting those funds. I see no problem of us putting the basket in the back and collecting the funds that way and completely separating it out and just adding a prayer or having a prayer specifically in one of the prayers. We don't even have to have a special prayer for it, but have someone mention that those funds be used properly, because then it takes care of everything that we're required to do.
Just go ahead, Justin.
So when we finish the kid thing first, so
do
both at once.
Yeah, you're right. He mentioned the kids, and then Dick talked, and I was going to circle back.
Real quick, I do want to echo.
I said it before I cut myself.
That the kids can go outside. I know that when Jason and Zoe and Marley were five, it was about mandatory, right? Like, once services got over, just go outside, run in a circle for like 10 minutes. Just burn off that energy that you've been building up over time. That obviously requires an adult to be out there. We're not going to let the five-year-olds run rampant by themselves. So there is some sort of thing. So I would strongly suggest that the parents be mindful of that, because what will end up happening over time, if you're not careful, is it'll be the same mom or the same dad that's out there every time. They never get to talk with adults because they're always outside with the kids. So try and think about that and just hand off that. But them being outside, it's a world of help. Kids naturally know when they're looking at like their mom or their dad or their grandparents or whatever. They know what they can get away with in one situation and not another situation. It was a rude awakening for those twins of yours in that class when grandma had been teaching for a year, and then I came in and they're like, "We always get a gummy." I'm like, "Tough." I threw the chair in the hallway. Like, there's like, wait a minute, this is a different paradigm that we're dealing with. Oh, yeah. What's going on?
I had those same discussions with grandma.
So I can see that. There you go. I can see that. It's obvious that the twins get away with more when they're sitting with your mom than they do when you're sitting with you. But that doesn't mean isolate it. It just means be mindful and check and adjust those types of things. Talk about the Lord's Supper and contribution. I suggested about seven times over the past, say, 20 years that they be split. I did mention here 9 months ago that when I was teaching the high school class that I was asking them the acts of worship, and I didn't give them any prompts, right? I didn't push them, but, you know, I did tell them there were five. They got to four, and then, you know, maybe 30 seconds of silence. Marley goes, "Oh, yeah, I guess the contribution's separate." They got to the five. So it's still sticking in their heads, even at that age, that it's hard to separate it. Mm-hmm. I've always liked the Lord's Supper at the very end. You know, you don't change the number of songs. You just rearrange. You can either do the contribution right at the beginning after the scripture reading, or you can go song. Song, contribution, song, sermon, invitation, Lord's Supper, song, Lord's Supper, something like that. But divide them up is not hard. It's just a question if that's what we want to do or not.
Right. How about this? Does anybody have an objection with splitting them up? Because it seems like there are several that... okay, so then what about this? Over the next few weeks, think about how to do that, what you think would be the best way. Whether it's putting them in the back, like Rick mentioned, or whether it's doing it at the end. I mean, again, there's a dozen ways we could do it. Think about that. What would be, again, we want, you know, expedient, so we're thinking efficient. What would be easiest? I think we don't want to change up our entire worship to split this up. Do it as simply as possible, I think, would be the best way to handle it. But think about that, and then that's something that we will start off on next business meeting. Is that fine? With everyone, and we'll make that decision then and implement it the next week.
Sounds good.
Alright. Does anybody else have anything?
Well, I haven't finished an answer, but before I bring up the other thing about experience, I mean, in my 66 years of attendance, I mean, this is, didn't have that problem with the kids. I mean, when they're younger, they're going to, you know, jibber jabber, but you don't get them continue on and on and on, and And I had four kids about them by myself. My wife quit going, and they were and got four kids in 5 years. So you can get the idea what ages they were. My little girl was 1 year old when she was baptized. But anyway, I mean, and anybody else from years ago, the congregations they were. And they can tell you it didn't have all this on there, and sure they little children, you know, 6 months old, they got them up, but you try to console them, whatever, you know, and some different ways, and everybody's different. But I mean, in other words, years ago it wasn't this problem that bad, you know. And the other thing about is Jack Hope. I don't know how many of you know him or not. I mean, of him, you know, of him and all that. But and he was a member here, of course. But he, at one time, he was a gospel preacher, and he had a health problem, and a Medicaid, I believe it is, because he's under 65. And he attends there. I mean, not attend. He's a resident where I'm at of assisted living, and he's in ill health. And half the time, or sometimes more, that he doesn't come down for a meal because he's not feeling well. And I don't know if he should be put on the list with
chronically ill.
Yeah, right. And because when you go to Facebook and they say somebody's ill or whatever, he always has prayers for him, you know, and
he mentioned today, or the reason they weren't here today, Arlene was sick. He posted that on Facebook, yeah.
But last week, he wasn't feeling well at all.
That's something we can definitely add Jack Holt to the chronically ill list on that personal worksheet, and then it's on the bulletin as well. That's something we can do. Tommy,
I just wanted to say I also don't want our young parents to think they got to take their kids out of the assembly because they need to be in the assembly to learn, and we don't want to have children's church and any of that kind of stuff.
That's the difficult thing, you know. As a parent, when the kids get rowdy, that's one thing I'm always thinking of. Okay, at what point do I need to take them out, and you know, what point's getting too much, and it's just, you know, again, sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes our kids. Everybody else hears them before I do because, you know, there's just part of me that you learn to drown out a little bit when they're that age to a certain extent. You know, they're starting to get, you know, louder than they normally are.
We had a visitor last week, and she took her, well, last 2 weeks ago, whatever, I couldn't lose track of time. But she took her child out, Elliot, and I told her, I said, don't worry, he's bothering you a lot more than he's bothering everybody else. Amen. You know. Don't worry about it. I said, you go back in, sit down, you know.
And I think that's the key is if they are acting up or out or misbehaving and you do take them out, it shouldn't be a go out and play and this is where you, because then it teaches them to, well, hey, if I act out, I get to go out here and play. It's a scolding or a spanking or whatever, and then right back in. And there's a few times where I've done it, and you've seen me, I've gotten up 3 times, 4 times in a row, and at some age, you know, sometimes I've done it and they just didn't get it, and I was like, well, they're maybe not quite there yet because they're getting spanked, but they really don't know what they're getting spanked. You know, again, that's where it's different with every kid, and you just kind of, that's one of the things as a parent, kind of, you just learn as you go and work with the kids, but yeah, that's certainly something that we're working on.
I just spank them all before we get to church.
And when you get home.
Dish, yes,
I wanted to mention Lorenzo's being in the assembly this morning.
Yes,
He came to say goodbye. If you didn't actually get a goodbye, he's kind of, you know, he's kind of shy about that.
Yeah, I got hello, but.
Right. He's leaving Tuesday for Arkansas. And I've got his address from him if you all want it now, or you can get it later if you want to write it down. Maybe post it.
Post that on the board, and I think that'd be appropriate.
Could give it to David. Maybe he could put it in the.
I think it'd be appropriate to post on the Facebook group
right.
too.
So I'll share that with David. He can put it in there. But I think it would be really important. Now, cell phone's the same. His email's the same, so you should be able to get a touch with him that way. my understanding is he's made no arrangements to worship anywhere.
Where in Arkansas, do you know?
He's going to Houston, Arkansas. It's near Conway, I think.
Conway.
He decided it was near Conway. And I encouraged him to find a place, you know, where he could be with some brethren. But, yeah, definitely could use some encouragement, you know, because I understand he's been pretty weak and done some things he shouldn't be doing. So he needs encouraging.
Is he moving with his family, with his mother?
No, he's got a friend there that he's going to room with. Apparently that's why he's going there. And I guess he's just trying to get away from everybody, trying to make a fresh start. So, yeah, let's encourage him as we can. And let them know that we're not going to forget about it.
Let me clear up here. What I'm talking about, you just offend there. It's not implying every time your child has a whimper, you take him to the cry room at the nursery. And I kind of got the idea about what people some of the thought or think, well, every time you take them to know they're getting to learn, you know.
Right.
I mean, when they're rude, they don't learn, but they're still learning discipline and all and that. So I'm not saying you take them to the nursery every time you get a whimper out of them. So.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.